good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jim Walker. I guess you'd say I'm kind of new here, because there's lots of folks out there that I don't know. At least I don't know you by name, I know you by sight. The two scriptures that were read today were my choice. And they're my choice because the first one means a great deal to me. I belong to the Masonic fraternity, and that is one scripture that is repeated at each and every meeting. The other one, not every meeting, but it is used. And the importance of remembering what is said in each one of them. The only problem is that quite frequently we read the Bible, but we only read words. Do we understand really what the Bible says? There's a lot of meaning there that, to be quite frank with you, I don't understand. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. I'd like to take time to tell you where I came from. Not we, but me. I was born and raised in a little community called White Church. It's over at 85th and Parallel in Wyandotte County. And White Church was known for its white church. Long, long time ago, it was one of the first churches established while the Indians were still there. Today it's known, it was known as White Church Community Church at the time I went to church there, or when I started. It then became White Church Christian Church and is known as that today. So it's an old church. A big old stone church. Initially, it was a one-room church set out in the middle of the pasture. We used to sleigh ride in that pasture. As I think about it, there was a great big oak tree that stood right in front of the church. Would take probably three people to go around it. Big tree. Matter of fact, I have a limb off of it, a piece of a limb. The limb is about that big around at home in my garage. As you all might recall, at Christmas time we used to have a program by the youngsters. I haven't seen one in quite some time. One thing that I always remember was that I was given a two-line piece to remember. And my brother, who was 3 years older than I, helped me memorize it. The only problem was I wasn't too good at memory. And when it came time for me to give my apart, I got up, looked around, and looked right at my brother and said, "John, what's my piece?" He'd learned it also. He gave me the words to start it, and I went ahead and gave it. Interesting how you remember things like that. When I was 18 years of age, I think a rather interesting thing happened. I was active in the church, and I was elected as a deacon. Not for long, however, because in 2 years later, I joined the Navy for 4 years. My tour with the Navy was basically with an air group aboard an aircraft carrier. Was stationed out of Alameda, California. We spent one tour of duty in off the coast of Korea, and the other tour was a world tour. It was truly a world tour. We went from Alameda to Norfolk News, picked up our carrier, which happened to be the USS Hornet, and went from Newport News to Lisbon, Portugal. In Lisbon, Portugal, we went to Naples. Naples, we went through the Suez Canal to Colombo, Ceylon, which is now known as Sri Lanka, and then headed for Australia, only we didn't make it. They had other things for us to do. Anyway, we ultimately went into Manila and into Japan and then back to Pearl Harbor and back to San Francisco or to Alameda. Alameda is just right next door to San Francisco. It's across the bay. So that's that portion of where I came from. The only thing is, in 1955, some things happened that were rather decisive. One was that my wife and I got married. I came home after the cruise, the world cruise. We were married. She went back to California with me. And I just happened to think, at that time, we were not churchgoers, I might say, that during that period of time. We returned to Kansas in 1956. And I went back to work for the railroad and went to school. Earned my aircraft and power plant license to work on airplanes and went to work for TWA. Worked for TWA for 33 years, 13 years as a mechanic, 22 years as a maintenance instructor. That may explain why I can get up and talk in front of people, because believe me, I talked in front of plenty of people. As far as my local experience, I drove school bus part-time for 12 years. And worked for Clarence Gast Bus Company out of Overland Park, and Bert Gast out of Lenexa, and Turner Myers out of Merriam. So I've been around. On top of that, I was also assistant fire chief of the old Elmhurst Fire Department. I think the only reason I got that was because I was home during the day. I was working twilight. So I was home till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's been interesting. I have a little story I'd like to tell. It's about a preacher. It's a good story. Preacher went to visit the fellow in the wintertime. He greeted him, walked in. They sat down in front of the fireplace, never said a word. Neither one. Pretty soon, the preacher reached over with a poker and pulled out a couple of coals out of the fire. And they sat there, no comment. The coals died down and cooled off and went out. And he reached over and moved them back into the fire. And the coals glowed. He got up and got ready to leave. And the fellow said, "Thank you, preacher. Thank you for the sermon." But not a word was said. What did he say? When we're with a group of people, they have a tendency to grow with you, to say something. You learn something. Just wanted to share that little poem, that story. It was interesting. I'd like to reread the scripture. Psalms 133. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the ointment, precious ointment upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Who ever heard of the dew of Hermon? Anybody know anything about the dew of Hermon? You know what dew is, right? Well, as I understand it, the dew that came upon the mountains of Zion were the lifeblood of that area, because being in a dry area, the only time they primarily got moisture was at night when the dew fell. The dew refreshed all of the vegetation. And I really wonder how much it refreshed or provided refreshment for the people during the day. One of the little stories one of the things that we never think about when we read the Bible. The Bible tells you a lot more than just the words. I'd like to go through the Ecclesiastes now, because this one, I think, has a lot of things to tell you. It's Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 7. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his longhorn, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the earth and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, both of these scriptures may seem a bit morbid, but it's life. It's life from the beginning to the end. I hope that you'll take a look at it that way. Let's go back and take each one of the items in this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember God. Always remember God. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, as you get older, there's a lot of days you'd just soon not do without, right? I know I'm speaking a lot from experience when I talk about this. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. This is a statement that is, or an expression indicating the failure of eyesight. How many people do I see out there that wear these? I've worn glasses for probably 30 years, probably closer to 40. Keepers of the house shall tremble. This expression is a figure of the body in old age. What are the keepers? The arms and the legs are considered the keepers of the house. How many folks have you seen have problems getting around, doing anything? The The grinders cease. Grinders cease. These are the grinders. And they talk about the, I forget what it is now, I have to look back. Be not darkened, or the stars. They can't, again, they're talking about vision. They talk about the height. The individual is afraid of heights, afraid of walking without an appliance, or needing an appliance to walk with. And they talk about the almond tree. What would an almond tree have to do? Because when it blooms, it is extremely white. How many people do I see right here today? Grasshopper shall be a burden. It's a figure of speech that says that not only is the grasshopper weak, so are we. May we be weak. Get my tongue untied. And man goeth to his long home. What are we talking about? His long home would be to his final resting place. And mourners go about the streets. There used to be, and I don't ever recall it, but I guess in Christ's time, or whenever this was written, that was one of the, Mark, can you help me? Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Do you know? Okay. Well, that was a question I had. You see, every time I pick up something, I have a question. And it makes no difference what it is that I read. But they talk about the hired mourners in and about the house. In that time of their life, they hired mourners to go about the street and in the house. Now we come to the back, to the last part, the silver cord. The silver cord be loosed. What is the silver cord? The silver cord is called, or they're making you'll have to excuse me because I have a problem with my memory sometimes, and I can't reach the word that I want. That's what happens. when you have a stroke. And it really irritates me, believe me. But the silver cord is referred to as the
spinal cord.
Yeah. That's my helper. My daughter. She typed a good deal of this, so she knows what's here. Which means that the nervous system kind of goes to pot. The golden bowl refers to a state of man's mind or his brain as a result of old age. Wheel broken at the cistern. The great artery that receives the blood from the left ventricle of the heart, symbolized by the cistern. The golden bowl relates to the broken state of man's mind or brain as old age approaches. The pitcher be broken at the fountain. The heart is the fountain of human life, and the great vein, which carries the blood to the right ventricle, is symbolically called the pitcher. When this is broken as a result of old age or by human disease, death soon follows. As I told the earlier service, I had an aunt that died from that. I guess it's what you might call hardening of the arteries. She was getting ready to go to work, went back in the bedroom to get her shoes. She reached down to pick her shoes up, and that artery broke. And that's where they found her. My uncle said that he talked to the doctor afterwards, and the doctor told him it wouldn't have made any difference if he had been sitting right beside her. She would have been gone. Then they talk about the desires shall fail, fears shall be in the way. Many things today that I find that as I progress in life, I'm a little bit cautious about doing. I don't do things quite like I used to. As I find that as I read this, and I have to admit that I had some help from a book to give you the explanations, but I'd like to remind you that it is really important not to read just the words that are in the Bible. They are there to tell you something, and they may not be easy to come by, but if each one within this room were to read the same thing, I would bet that we would come up with multiple ideas of what we find in that particular reading. I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to present this, because I feel like it's important. I found that out being an instructor, if nothing else. You have students that keep reminding you of things that you said, that they can mean something else also. Thank you.
Amen.